that'll be on A14. But for those of you who want to follow on the monitor, we'll have the printed text on the monitor. Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 18 through 23. And for the sake of clarity, we'll read out of the NIV translation on today. Are you there?
Amen.
Amen. Let's read together, starting with verse 18 down to verse 23. I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Yes.
Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Tell your neighbor, neighbor.
Amen.
I know you a lot of things.
I know you a lot of things.
But did you know?
But did you know
that among the things, that you are,
you are strong. Strong.
You strong.
Strong.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for the grace to stand in this holy place to do what we are no strangers to doing. But we also know that we couldn't do it unless you make it possible.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for the time that you granted me to share fellowship in your word and prayer. Lord, I thank you, God, for the time that you helped bring about thoughts and ideas. Lord, I thank you for the time that you allow things to make it into the sermon and things not to. What I'm trying to say is, Lord, God, I cannot do it without you. And so now I pray, God, that for those who assembled here, God, that you would have a special word. Amen. For that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. That we can lead away from your knowledge that you spoke to us. And that at the speaking of your word, your God, you're moving us not only to hearing, God, but to doing according to what your word says. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. You and you alone, your strength. You are my redeemer. This is your servant's prayer. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm excited about this sermon series that we're going to include today entitled Resonate. And this is a series based on Paul's letter to the faithful saints at Ephesus. You know, because so often we can be labeled with tags that are not true about us, and labels that leave us feeling inadequate, excluded, neglected, and even disrespected. So however we want in this series, this last installation of this series, to focus on what God labels us, what God calls us, what God thinks about us. And so far in Paul's letter to his church at Ephesus, we discover first that God calls us blessed. That God calls us chosen. That God calls us redeemed.
Yeah.
And then on today, with the aid and the assistance of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we want to pull from that same fact that God calls us strong.
Yeah.
So, for the last time, would you help me with this verbal affirmation by saying with me, I am who God says I am. What God says I am. Do what God says I can do.
Amen.
You know, saints, weakness is a reality in which all of us wrestle with. Can I get an amen right there? We put a premium on strength in our culture. And we even invest enormous amounts of energy trying to prove ourselves on a number of levels. We populate gyms. We experiment with diets. We enroll in classes. And we matriculate with degrees, all while trying to sharpen our physical, mental, and emotional capacities, and yet we wrestle with how weak we feel sometimes. We let what others say about us hurt us. We permit the actions of our adversaries to affect our actions. We're upended by problems, disrupted by pain, and distracted by pressure because weakness is a reality in which we all wrestle with. Sometimes it demands our attention. Sometimes it's a physical weakness that causes us to focus only on what is wrong with us. Sometimes it's a mental or an emotional weakness where we permit folk to destroy our confidence and cause us to think less of ourselves. It may be an unhealthy, controlling relationship or even things that have previously happened in our lives that still paralyzes us in our present. Sometimes it's a spiritual weakness that causes us to question our faith and to terminate our ministry and abandon our church and limit our prayers and even sometimes abandon our scripture. Let me say it again. Weakness is a reality in which all of us wrestle with. Are you with me here today?
Amen.
And we are not alone. This tale of human weakness is recorded throughout the entirety of the Bible. It is there where you will find men and women who struggle with the issues of weakness. Even the author of our text today, the Apostle Paul, this global globetrotter, this tin maker from Tarsus, wrestled with human weakness. Because in a different letter to the church, to the Christians at Corinth, Paul testified about his own struggle. He described it as a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan sent to torment me. Even in the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, 3 times, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power was made perfect in weakness. And I declare that's a word for us today. With the reality of our own weakness, we need to know that according to the word of God, our weakness don't define who we are, nor can it overpower whose we are. No matter where we are in life, God can still use us. And God can still accomplish great things in us. Can I get an amen? Can God do this? How many today can tell you that God gives us His strength to make us strong? That's how we do it. Not my strength. Not your strength. His strength is what makes us strong. Isaiah chapter 40, one of my favorite chapters in Scripture, puts it like this. It says, He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And Paul contends in this letter to the faithful that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and what became of him after of his resurrection shows the greatness of the power of God even on today for those who believe. All hear me well, saints. God meets our human weakness with his divine strength.
Amen.
And therefore, we don't ever have to doubt whether God can achieve certain things in us, with us, or through us, because as we consider what God accomplished through his Son Jesus, we gain the assurance that God is able to do it in us as well.
Amen.
Are y'all listening?
Yeah.
So let me continue arguing my case. The fact of the matter is that for some reason, some of us still get by the best way that we can. Why is it that we have given up to defeat and that we stumble along with spiritual ineffectiveness? Paul says that we had not laid hold of his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's verse 19.
Yeah.
And saints, you can live strong
despite
what you have done. Because God raised Jesus from the dead. Man, I wish I could preach it like I feel. That the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you and me right now. That our weakness right now are being met and mastered by God's strength. You know, in the first 14 verses of this chapter, Paul set forth the unlimited blessings that we have as a people of faith. And in paraphrasing, let me just say that he said that it's his prayer that we would fully understand and appreciate what God has already done for us. Amen. Now notice what he is not praying for. He does not pray that God would give us mighty power. But rather, he prays that God would open our eyes and that we would be enlightened to know the power that God has already given. Maybe if I explained it this way, you would better understand it. You know, the story is told of William Randolph Hearst. William Randolph Hearst was one of many media tycoons who earned his fortune in the newspaper business. And at the height of his career, he owned a chain of 30 major newspapers here in America. And so one day, Hearst read an article in a magazine about an extremely valuable piece of art. Now, he was an avid art lover and collector, and so he decided that he had to have that particular piece of art to add to his extensive art collection. So he instructed his purchasing agent to scour all the galleries across the entire world to find that particular piece of art. He was determined to have that piece of art no matter what the cost. And after many months of searching high and searching low, the purchasing agent informed the stars. He said, "Mr. Hearst, I found that priceless piece of art. I found it in your warehouse." You see, William Randolph Hearst didn't even know the value treasure was already in his possession. He was searching for something that was already his. And sadly, many Christians are still searching for things in the Christian life that are already in their possession. We pray for light, although God has already abundantly supplied it to us through his word. We pray for strength, although the scripture tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We pray for more love when Romans 5 affirms to us that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We pray for more grace when Paul already suggested that God told him and his about his blessings and his favor like he's a pharmacist with which there's a copay. He gives us all of these things freely and fully by his grace. So it's the power you need, the provision you want, the protection you require, the peace you desire, and the joy that you seek are already yours. You just gotta let go and let God open your eyes so that you can clearly see what you already possess. Now Paul recognized that these believers here at Ephesus had the mark of true believers. And let me clarify what I mean when I say that. The mark of a true believer is not how loud you shout. The mark of a true believer does not mean that you can sing under the anointing or preach with power. You got devils that can sing under that same anointing. The mark of a true believer does not mean that you can speak in 10 different tongues. The mark of a true believer is found in two things. And Jesus said it himself in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. He said, the mark of a true believer is how much you love God and how much you love other people.
Amen.
Amen. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is what the first commandment, and the second is equal, and it's like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these two. You want to be a true believer? Love God and love God's creation. And Paul realized that they had a love for God and a love for God's people. So his prayer was that God would enlighten the eyes of their hearts in verse, the A part of verse 18. He wanted them to know the hope to which they had been called. Amen. In verses 18b through 19, that the riches of God's inheritance and the immeasurable power toward us who believe.
Yes.
Did you get that?
Yes.
Paul was not praying that they or even we would get this calling, or that they would become heirs, or that they would get this power. He said to them, you already have this calling. You are heirs, and that you already possess the power. Now y'all gonna really get your word today. Paul exhausts human language in the Greek trying to describe the power that God gave to us. He says, in this short text, we have dynamis power. That's where we get the English word dynamite, which means that you have something explosive on the inside of you. He says we have the energy of power, and that's the ability to function at the level that we need to function on a daily basis. He also says in this text that we have the Kratos power. That is the authoritative power, which means that not only do we have the ability, but we also have the authority to tell the devil which bus to catch and which stop to get off. We have the Ischis power, and that's an inherent and an internal and an intrinsic power. And all four of these combined equal the power of the resurrection. That you and I don't have just any kind of power. We have resurrection power already in our lives. Amen. That the moment that you trusted Jesus as Savior, the moment that you trusted God as Father, the moment that you trusted the Holy Spirit as your keeper is when when God gave you all the power that you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I realize that some of y'all ain't excited about that.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
And the reason you can't, because you don't know what resurrection power is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me break it down to you.
Come on,
like
break it down. Break it down. Come on.
Resurrection means to be raised from the dead.
Yeah.
And resurrection power is the power to raise up dead things, dead dreams, dead hopes, dead aspirations, dead plans, dead relationships, dead goals, dead eyes. Nudge your neighbor, say, neighbor, wake up. That make a difference in your destiny and in mine. Can I share them with you? The first lesson is that you can live strong because you have been emancipated.
Amen.
And that A part of verse 20, the text says that God put this power, this is a New Revised Standard, God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead.
Hallelujah.
In the NIV, it says he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead, but this is the power that was put to work in Christ when God raised him from the dead. God raised Jesus, and God set him free from the power of death.
Yes.
Amen. I do recall that they went on that early Sunday morning looking for Jesus. And the angels had to put them in check. What you looking for? He ain't here. He had power over hell, death, and the grave. Because the ultimate enemy is death. And God, through Christ, defeated death. I can't hear me today. And the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is present in you and me.
Yeah.
It just has to be released. How many of y'all have been to the Hoover Dam? Okay. My wife and I have been to Las Vegas on a number of occasions. And on a few of those occasions, we had the privilege of going to see the Hoover Dam. The Hoover Dam is massive. I was just reading in this that the amount of concrete it took to make the dam stretches from one coast to the next. There was some engineering marveling that had took place to see to it in the time of depression that this dam was built. It's a massive, massive. I mean, it's just, one of the pictures up there is from the floor level up. Massive amounts of concrete. And the dam controls the flow of trillions of gallons of water. Now, when all the outlets are closed, the dam continues to still have the potential to release a massive body of water into the Colorado River. It is an inherent power that's waiting to be released. Okay, you didn't hear it. The same thing is true in our lives. God has deposited in those who believe unlimited power that's just waiting to be released. The resurrection assures us that evil and wickedness will not win, that in the end, God's child is declared a winner. Amen. The resurrection assures us that Satan will not have the last word, and that joy ultimately will come in the morning. You know, if God can raise a dead Jesus, He can raise your marriage. He can raise your credit score. He can raise your creativity. He can raise your dad, Jesus. He can raise your reputation. God has set you free and given you a brand new destiny. That's why you can live strong. All right, first lesson is that you can live strong because you have been emancipated. But then you can also live strong because you have been
elevated.
And the B part of verse 20, the text says that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realm. God seated Jesus at his right hand. At the right hand, you all, is a place of power, proximity, and petition. And we can draw close to God. That's the proximity. And the closer we get to God, the stronger we become in God. And the stronger we become in God, the bolder we become for God.
Come on, man.
And the reason why some of us ain't bold for God is because we're not strong in God. Because we're not close to God. You see, when you become bold for God, it shows up in your life and it shows up in your faith. And that's why stuff that used to pluck your last nerve don't bother you no more. Because you've been elevated. But you know, everybody is not going to celebrate your elevation this year. Some people will need you to be needy so that they can feel needed. They don't have a problem with your weakness. They have a problem with your strength. They don't have a problem with your ignorance. They have a problem with your intelligence. They don't have a problem with your apathy. They have a problem with your actions. I still remember one time it happened to me at an Alpha convention that was then the Western Renaissance. You know, that's a long time ago because the Western ain't the Western no more. It's called the Marriott. And it was in Detroit. And up to this day, and I remember it because after our plenary recession had ended, and the conference, you know, the conference rooms, you know, were on like floors 4, 5, 6, 7, right? And then they were all above the first floor. And so I tried to get to the elevators before the mass exodus of all the other brothers. Because it was packed. And I knew that if I didn't get there first, it would take me a while before I got out of there. So I rushed out of there, and I remember standing in front of the bank of the elevators waiting for the door to open. When what I'm finally did, I politely asked, "Are you going down?" And an elderly lady said, she said, "No, sir. Everybody on this elevator is going up. Or if you want to go up, then get on. But if you ain't, if you going down, then this ain't your ride." And I didn't know when that encounter would ever be used in a sermon, and here it is. Some of the courage to tell folk that are trying to get on the is that life experiences become good preaching material.
Yeah.
You just don't know when.
Yeah.
You can live strong.
Yeah.
Because you have been emancipated.
Yeah.
You can live strong.
Right.
Because you have been elevated.
Yeah.
And what we share in Christ is being situated.
Yes,
I'm in verse 21.
Yeah.
The text says that far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come.
Well,
I can hear you. What does that mean, Pastor?
Yeah.
It means that God set Jesus over all powers, including angelic and demonic. That's the situation. That God's power towards us is an angel summoning, demon defeating, situation reversing, circumstance changing power. Okay, let me say it this way. At the cross, God disarmed the rulers and the principalities and authorities of this world and triumphed over them in Christ. And as believers in Christ, we do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. That's our situation. And I believe that there are at least 10 folk here today who can testify, Pastor, I know what God can do. Because God has given me victory over my situation. And from situations that should have destroyed me. Are there any honest folk who are not ashamed to admit that you would be surprised at what God got me out of? You would be surprised at what God brought me through. Are you here? Can I be honest?
Yeah.
It was not my desire to be here in the week.
Lord.
It wasn't my desire to leave Argo. It wasn't my desire to end up in alone.
Yeah.
But God ordered my
step.
And when God puts you there, it will not be easy for you to just up and make it. Because once you get it down in your heart that God told me to plant my feet right here, I shall be like the tree that's planted by the river. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say. I shall not be moved. Okay, so why are you leaving? Oh, they looked at me wrong. Oh, I really liked it there, but nobody talked to me. If the Lord has placed you in a place where you are to occupy, it becomes hard to vacate. That's our situation. Amen. Amen. You've been elevated. Amen. And now we share, and Christ is being situated. But then after that, there's subjugated. I know this is a simple sermon. I'm sorry. What does this mean to be subjugated? Subjugated.
Come on,
it means that Jesus is head
over
all things. And then verse 22, the text says that God placed all things where? Sub feet. And appointed him to be what?
Head
over everything for the church. How? I hate to burst your bubble. Because you thought that you were in control of your life. But this scripture tells us that there is nothing above Jesus. Even
nothing.
Oh, I'm the master of my faith. I'm the captain of my soul. I got this job. You're wrong, but the truth is not in you. The scripture said God has placed all things under the feet of Jesus, and he appointed him to be head over everything for the church. And God, that, you know, there is nothing above Jesus. He has authority over you. He has authority over humans and history, over demons and diseases. He has authority over nature and weather, over business and industry. He has authority over governments and kings, over presidents and prime ministers. All things are under his feet. And that's why I don't lose sleep over who's in the White House. Everything and everybody has been subjected to the authority of Jesus. That the issues that you are now experiencing are under his feet. The issues that we experience in our church are under his feet. Jesus is our leader. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our guide. Jesus is our authority. In Jesus we are saved, we are secure, we are stabilized, and we are satisfied. And that's the real reason why we praise him. That's the reason why we preach like we preach, act like we act, because Satan has been subjugated. He has been subject to the authority of the Christ.
Yeah.
All right. Let me hear. We share Christ because Christ is being situated, and then Satan and all creation is being subjugated. And for our part, is the last part, there is the occupation. This is our job.
Yeah.
We are to occupy until he comes. And some of us can't even do that. You know, when Jesus went to go and pray, he was with his disciples, and he said, God, y'all can't even wait up a minute. Right there in Matthew 26, then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Amen. Some of us, we can't even go with Jesus and we can't even wait for Jesus. But in verse 23 of our text in Ephesians, the text says, the church is his body. It is made full, this is a new living, and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with what? With himself. That every time, y'all, I look at this crazy stuff on the news, it makes me more excited to come to church.
Amen.
Because it reminds me that no matter how crazy it is out there, what goes on in here has a chance to change what's going on out there. And if you think that it's bad now, just take the church out of the world and see how bad it's going to be. And I'm not talking about the building, because the building ain't the church. We're the church. Amen. We at least, you know, even row roaches scramble when the bite comes out. We're the light of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, we have the light. We have the light that Jesus is the light of the world. And so we are called to be light in dark places. So imagine if God decided to remove the church, the light, from the sea of this darkness. Imagine, you'd be kind of bad now. And I know church folk ain't no angels.
Come on, man.
Well, imagine if the church was taken out of this world, how bad things will be. So that God, through his church, wants to let us, the weak, say, I am strong. And the only way we can say that is because we are in him. And his power is above all power. And his name is above every name. And no matter what happens, let me say it again, I don't care what happens, everything is going to be all right. If you can just call on the name of Jesus. Amen. If you don't know how to call on the name of Jesus, how about if you just spell the name? I got to leave you, but let me tell you this story about a man who tried all that he can do to do everything right. And for everything that he did right, there were some things that still went wrong. He became depressed and he was bordering on hopelessness, and he even contemplated suicide. But even then, he thought to try some new things. And so he decided to try the Job Corps. He applied, but they would not hire him. And then after leaving the Job Corps, he went to the employment office. And he wasn't eligible for any employment benefits. So he decided, why not stop by the Social Security office? But they denied his claim. And in desperation, he decided to go to the United Way. But they had no referral for him. And his last act was to stop by the Salvation Army. But even they didn't have any help to offer him. So he decided, I have no other alternative. So he began to feel even more despondent. And he said, since I don't have any other way to go, I may as well take my life. And before I do this, though, I'm going to write a letter to my wife and to my children to let them know that I did not give up, at least without a fight. And as he wrote that letter, he said, I'm sorry that I have been such a disappointment, but I want to spell things out that I have recently tried. The Job Corps wouldn't hire me. The employment office, the Social Security, I don't get it, the Social Security office, the United Way, and the Salvation Army. Y'all know that as he was writing, he remembered how his mama once said to him that no matter how bad it is, that you can just call on the name of Jesus.
Yeah. need somebody to snatch you back from the pit of despair.
Yes.
Come on, Jesus.
Jesus.
He's a good leader.
Jesus.
He's a mighty good leader.
Yes.
He's a friend.
Yes.
When you don't have a friend, you call him Jesus.
Yes. Jesus.
We're not strong by ourselves. We're strong in Him. And that's what Paul is trying to encourage these saints at Ephesus. I'm not going to pray for stuff. I'm going to bring to your remembrance what you already have. I'm not going to ask you to ask God for something that you already got. The only difference between us and the sinner is we got Jesus.
Yeah.
There is no difference. We're subject to the same temptation. We get angry just like everybody else. Oh, come on, y'all. The only difference is we have Christ.
Yes, yes.
Just man falling sometimes.
Yeah.
That's the just man.
Yeah.
Didn't say the just man wouldn't fall. And we're made just through Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. But the good thing is that with Christ, we get up 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? I'm done. I'm done. Seriously, I'm done. I'm done. Would you affirm to your neighbor,
neighbor,
you are strong.
You